these daily broadcasts have one major purpose. That is to conduct a systematic investigation into what the Bible has to tell us about the great issues of life and death. We started by looking at the origin of man. We found that man was created as a living creature capable of becoming immortal, on probation for immortality, if you like, but not having immortality built into him. In other words, Adam and Eve could have chosen to obey their Creator. They could then have had access to the tree of life, which would have given them endless life. But our first parents fell prey to the cunning lies of the devil. The human race then set out on a disastrous course, the results of which are visible all around us in the 1990s. Broken homes, abused children, unnatural sexual relationships, murder, rape, and so on, are living proof of what the Bible says, that God has been ignored, that man has done it his way. All of this chaos is orchestrated by the arch-criminal, the devil. God gives the devil only as much freedom as he, God, allows. But when the human race rejects the counsel of a loving God provided by the Bible, the devil is permitted to step in to increase the chaos and confusion. When churches abandon age-old biblical principles of conduct under the pressure of trying to keep in step with the world, Christianity becomes a hollow pretense. The church is supposed to teach and preach the faith as Jesus and the apostles understood it. Much of what goes under the name of Christ today would be entirely rejected by Jesus. In these troubled conditions, it's only reasonable that we should be informed about what we can do to escape the clutches of the devil's deception. We need to know what our responsibility is to God and to his will. What is our destiny, and how can we attain it? We've been finding that resurrection from death is the great goal of our human existence. We do not survive as souls separated from our bodies. That idea has been imported from pagan philosophy. Jesus preached the resurrection of dead people, not the reuniting of conscious souls with their bodies. Jesus has promised to bring us back from death by waking us up from the sleep of death. In an earlier broadcast, we were looking at the interesting encounter between Jesus and the Sadducees. You will find the story in Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 to 33. That religious group did not think that there was such a thing as the resurrection of the dead, so they approached Jesus with a clever argument. They wanted to know what would happen in the resurrection if a man had been married to several different women. Which of these wives would the man be married to in the resurrection? Their question was designed to debunk the whole idea of the resurrection of the dead. Jesus, on the other hand, was a great exponent of the idea of resurrection. He knew that he was the one appointed by God his Father to raise the dead, so any undermining of resurrection struck at God's great plan to confer immortality on faithful men and women. Jesus' answer to the resurrection-denying Sadducees was simple and to the point. He recognized that without the future resurrection, none of us could hope to live again and live forever. Resurrection throughout the Bible is the only hope you and I have of gaining life forever. We're all doomed to die the first death. We're under sentence of death because of sin. Death is the great enemy of mankind. Satan, who is the arch-murderer of the human race, does not want any of us to live forever. So he conducts a constant campaign to prevent us from believing God and God's promise of granting us immortality in the resurrection. Satan is the master confuser, the master con artist. He plays on the ignorance and prejudice of the human mind. Above all, he's unhappy when you take personal responsibility for searching out the truth of the Bible. You remember how the good Bereans in Acts 17 were commended highly for their open-mindedness. Luke tells us that they searched the scriptures daily to see if what they were hearing was true. So let us search out the truth of Jesus' teaching when he encountered the anti-resurrection arguments of the Sadducees. Jesus found the Sadducees wrong for three reasons. First, they did not know the scriptures nor the power of God. Jesus put it this way, "You are mistaken because you do not know the sacred writings, the scriptures." That should be a spur for all of us to take our Bible study with the utmost seriousness. Secondly, Jesus rebuked the Sadducees for not understanding that after the resurrection, immortal people will not be marrying nor bearing children. Thirdly, the Sadducees had failed to understand what God meant when he had said to Moses in Exodus 3, verse 6 and 16, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Jesus added, "God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Now, what did Jesus mean by that? Remember that the whole point of Jesus' conversation was to convince the Sadducees that there is going to be a resurrection of dead people. So what is Jesus driving at when he says that God is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? He's not the God of the dead, but the living. Jesus' intention was to prove the resurrection by using the scriptures which the Sadducees accepted. So Jesus quoted from the book of Exodus. Here was Jesus' argument. But as regarding the dead, that they wake up, as Mark's version of the story has it, Mark 12:26, even Moses proved, when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Well, you may be asking, how does that verse prove that there's going to be a resurrection? How does the verse which says that God is the God of the living and not of the dead demonstrate the need for resurrection? The point, quite simply, is that since Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were then dead, there has to be a future resurrection so that God may indeed be the God of the living. Resurrection in the mind of Jesus is the solution to death. Only when Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are raised from death can God indeed be called the God of the living. You can conduct a little self-test here. It may be that you thought that Jesus was saying that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were already immortal in heaven. If so, you are reading into the Bible the idea that souls can survive consciously without their bodies. Jesus did not think that the patriarchs were already alive. That would defeat the precise point of his argument. Jesus' purpose was to prove that there must be a resurrection in the future, so the dead Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob can be made alive from death. You remember Job's question in Job 14. If a man dies, will he come alive again? Now, it was not, if a man dies, is he still alive? Jesus knew that Abraham was dead. It's only when Abraham is resurrected in the future that God can truly be called the God of the living. Resurrection is the only way that God can be the God of the living. Jesus, you see, did not believe, as we tend to, that the dead can survive death. The only way they can live again is through the resurrection at Christ's return. The path to glory and immortality lead only from the grave and only by resurrection. The fact that God is the God of the living demonstrates that there has to be a resurrection, the very thing the Sadducees denied. It doesn't mean that the patriarchs were already alive apart from the resurrection. The book of Hebrews tells us that the Old Testament saints all died not having received the promises, Hebrews 11:13. Without us Christians, that is, they will not be made perfect, Hebrews 11:40. All the faithful of all the ages will be raised from death together. Many of those who are sleeping in the dust of the ground will arise, Daniel 12:2. That tells you what the dead are doing, sleeping, and where they're doing it, in the ground. Peter the Apostle says that there will be scoffers who doubt the second coming of Jesus. These people say that since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as from the beginning of creation. Now the fathers had indeed fallen asleep in death, but Jesus is coming back to call them out of their graves. In around AD 30, Jesus said, "No one has ascended to heaven." You'll find that in John 3:13. Abraham was dead. The other Old Testament hearers were also asleep in death. None of the faithful, except Jesus, has been woken up from the sleep of death. This is proven by the prophecy of Daniel, which predicts that after the Great Tribulation, the dead will emerge from their condition of sleep in the world of the dead, which he calls the dust of the earth. There really cannot be any doubt about Daniel 12:2, a golden text for understanding the condition of man in death. Some of the Jewish literature outside the Bible reflects exactly the same view. For instance, 1 Enoch 5, we read this, "Though the righteous sleep a long sleep, they have nothing to fear." The Bible's answer to the mystery of death is that it is an unconscious sleep followed by resurrection to joy or sorrow. That is plainly what Daniel believed, and no New Testament writer contradicted it. David was of the same opinion. His moment of glory would come only when God removed him from the grave. He said this, "God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave," Psalm 49:15. So you see, souls come back from the grave. They do not come back from heaven. Of course, as we've discussed earlier, my soul simply means myself. So David hoped to come back from Sheol, the world of the dead, Hades. I remind you of the words of a contemporary scholar who says this about the nature of death. "The body and soul which make up a man are as inextricably part and parcel of each other as the leaves and the flames which make up a bonfire. When you kick the bucket, you kick it 100%, all of you. There's nothing left to go marching on with." End of quotation. Jesus' conversation with the Sadducees has been misunderstood precisely because we do not share Jesus' conviction that it's only by resurrection that a man can come alive again after death. God is indeed the God of living persons. Therefore, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob must be resurrected. They are now dead, but they're going to re-emerge in perfect bodies. Then they will be death-proof forever. Now that is your hope, too. Abraham in the Bible is called the father of the faithful. We Christians are to have the faith of Abraham. And Galatians 3:29 says that if we belong to Christ, then we're reckoned as Abraham's descendants and we're heirs according to the promise. What is that promise? It's to live forever in the coming kingdom of God. It's not to go to heaven as a disembodied soul at death. That is never the language of Jesus. Jesus promised his followers that they would inherit life in the kingdom of God in a renewed earth, or life in the coming age. Life in the coming age is the meaning of that well-known phrase, everlasting life. Jesus' great teaching about our destiny was this: blessed are the meek, for they're going to inherit the earth. How different that is from the popular idea about souls going to heaven. It may be that some of this material is new to you. Join us again at the same time tomorrow as we continue to cast our searchlight on the great issues of life and death in the Bible. Contact us at the address given at the end of this program. We have some free literature we would like you to have. Meanwhile, may God bless you in your search for His truth.